If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is our work as planetary and extraterrestrial light bearers. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and evoke and call yourself forward as a bearer of light. Incorporate that divine light into every cell of your being. Take another deep breath. Fill your brain with that divine light. See the neuroplasticity of that brain configuring itself into a way that receives and is able to transmit greater light according to your highest divine good. Make room for your divinity to incorporate. But we ask at the same time that the energies be stepped down, which would be for the very best for each of you, so that none is overstimulated or given more than they can at this time handle and integrate. And we ask this through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek. And those divine beings, both planetary and extraplanetary, that guide and guard us and work through us as their instruments. Take another deep breath. Integrate. Open. Receive. And you may feel tingling throughout your body. You may feel a tingling in your extremities. Perhaps there is a touch upon the crown. Perhaps there's a greater expansion of the heart. If your eyes are closed, maybe you're seeing flashes of light or rings of light or an inner sun or what looks like an eye in the center of your forehead between your eyebrows. All of those are signs to opening to a greater degree of your own inner light, your own inner presence. Let's chant three hues, H-U, the heavenly universal love song to God. Deep breath. You. Just experience how the mind goes completely present when you chant the hue. It comes fully present and is clear and still. So let me ask you, are you a light bearer? Do you bring the light of loving harmony and goodwill wherever you go? Do you consciously identify with being a light worker or a light bearer? Is that how you think of yourself? In which ways are you sharing your light with others? For example, within your family, with your spouse or children, in your day-to-day interaction with friends, strangers, in your job or career setting. And if you're not sure or haven't really considered this before, please, if you care to, take a look objectively at how you're living, thinking, and the words that come out of your mouth each day. Do you stay conscious and present, or do you sometimes just get sucked in to the present company and rhetoric and kind of forget and lose track of who you are as a light bearer? Work to stay more consistently present. As Sai Baba calls us, we are all CIA. continuing integrated awareness. That's what he calls CIA. Constant integrated awareness. Constant. You work at it. You practice it. Just like you practice any other awareness skill. You put attention to it, and you hold yourself to that, and you bring yourself back into alignment when you drift off. So make your own assessment if necessary, and if necessary, your own corrections. But don't waste time making a big deal out of your shortcomings, because we all have them. And hopefully our shortcomings serve in keeping us humble, lest we think we're beyond all of that. And don't kid yourself. If you think you are beyond any shortcoming, look out. You're setting yourself up. I think we can probably recall a time when we'd say, oh, I'd never do that. And then we find ourselves doing that very thing. I know I have. So let's just stay present and do the best we can. And remember that every fault and shortcoming is simply our masterful traits still in their infancy. So as you work with whatever shortcoming or fault that you're aware of, know that you are bringing people that have that same fault and shortcoming up with you as you keep practicing, being more masterful and maturing that part of your consciousness. You're not doing that alone. You're helping to lead others. You're a way shower. You're a truth liver. You're a person that is true to yourself. And in that being true to yourself and giving yourself permission to be, you're enabling others to step into greater freedom, greater trust of themselves. So every single being is growing and perfecting and maturing their latent divine potential and abilities. And each is at a different point in that ability to do so, to consistently embody and live true to that divine nature that we inherently are. And we go from a spark to an effulgent blaze of glory in which the entirety of our being is transfigured and immortalized into pure divine light. And each expansion of awareness, each initiation, we incorporate more and more light until, if you would see a master or an avatar, as they truly are, you would see that they are pure light. They're nothing but pure light. But to appear in this world, they need to densify and lower their vibration to where we can see them. But they can just as easily raise their vibration and disappear. And that's why all the masters can appear in and out of any place at any time at will. And that's our latent potential that we're learning to do also. In the times ahead, you will have so perfected your ability to think in a very focused, on-purpose manner that you will materialize every single thing that you now have to have manufactured in a factory. That's part of what we're doing as we bring more light into the mind, which is not the brain. The brain is actually the receiver of that greater body of cognition that we would call the mind. And one of the aspects of the mind is to create forms for the formless light to dwell in. The formless light takes the form of the objects you see around you. You call some of them inanimate, but I tell you, they're all permeated with divine life. There's nothing inanimate. Everything is made of the same divine light and creative intelligence. And as you learn to use your mind as a vehicle for the higher aspects of yourself, as soul and spirit, to operate through, you will become like Sai Baba, able to think something and it instantly materializes. And he said he has the ability to turn the earth into sky and the sky into earth. And to do anything whatsoever without limit. And yet, he does not violate the natural laws. Because the natural laws that we have in place right now are part of our maturation process. We need to learn the art of living. And to do that, first of all, we need to learn how to obey the laws of nature so that our whole being works and lives in harmony with the natural flow of life. In that synthesis of the oneness of life that we all share as part and parcel of the divine God force, manifesting in myriads of forms. And so that's what we're learning to do. And so regardless of our background or our shape, size, color, national origin, our guises that we've assumed for this particular incarnation, we are the people, unlike anyone else at any previous times, because we have the Dharma, the role of transforming this earth back into its original, divine, harmonic state. Where all life cooperates as one unified field of living love, of active goodwill, where there's no semblance of againstness or polarized positioning for or against anyone or anything. We are in that divine state called samadhi or equal-mindedness. Where we see the unification and the oneness of all life, fundamentally, and beneath the form is that one light. And we bear that to whatever degree that we can. We import and escort that light into every place we place our feet and our divine presence. So we all have our hang-ups. We all have something that we're working on. We all have challenges and issues. If you don't have it at a personal level, you're going to have it at a systemic or a galactic or a cosmic level. Because as long as you're in the bipolar fields of the psychic and material realms, you're going to have the law of polarity in operation. Only at the soul plane and above do you not have the polarity. Every planet, when it reaches its third degree of initiation, becomes what is called a sacred planet. Our planet is not yet a sacred planet because it's not yet at that level. But its alter ego, i.e. its soul aspect, we could call it, is Venus, which is now in its seventh seventh round, which is like an incarnation. It's level in which it is now functioning at the highest level as a perfected divine being. And at that level, there is no evil. And the people at that level are like gods. They're exhibiting conscious godhood. And that's the vibration that we're gradually being discipled into and moving into harmonic resonance with, because the planet Earth is like the personality. It's like the personal vehicle through which Venus, as the soul, is seeking to utilize as an instrument. At a higher level, you have Sirius, which represents the monad, or the divine spirit, that is seeking to infuse Venus with more and more of the qualities of the Supreme Absolute. And then Venus, in turn, is bringing that energy into the Earth. So whoever you are, whatever you are, whether you're a planet, a person, a planet, a sun, whatever you are, you always have an upline that you are aligned with, that you are serving to be a vehicle and an instrument through which that higher aspect can operate. And it goes on throughout the cosmos in a great and glorious chain, if you will, of descending and integrating light. And at some point, that perfected one, be it a planet or a person, no longer needs the inhibiting factor of a form. The form serves only to create a visibility at a certain dimension, which is why we have a form at each dimensional level. But it's an option. And the masters, therefore, very often create an illusory form called a Mayavirupa that is meditated and created through the mind that they then can put on, as it were, as an appropriate vestiture for whatever planet they wish to enter. Some of the masters perfect the body that they had in their last incarnation, and some may incarnate several times and come in a new body, a new vehicle. But basically, everyone appears as you most remember and associate and can identify with that particular form. So your devotion and your expectation very much govern the way that the formless divine will manifest to you, be it in vision or appearing before you or in a dream, which is not really a dream when you have a divine experience. That's probably the only time we could say that a dream is not a dream is when the Lord appears in it in one of his or her many, many forms. So we are all here to serve a great purpose. Even if your purpose hasn't shown up yet, say that you're very young and you can find nothing that you can fit into. Let me tell you, you're not here to fit in. You're here to be part of something that hasn't yet precipitated, that is to say, appeared in the physical realm. Because on the higher planes and dimensions, everything that's going to be is already existing out of time. But it takes human endeavor and human effort to bring it down from the formless into form. And many of you are here to be conduits, as it were, of an entirely new technology of light that's going to replace every form of fossil fuel and commercially produced electricity and all of that. It's going to completely replace everything that we now use as a source of energy. And many of you are in here at this time, embodied, if you're very young, to be part of the precipitation into physical form and manifestation of the technology of light, which will have medical and healing and every kind of application you can imagine that's sourced divinely and non-commercial. The greatest danger we have on our planet today, according to the masters, is commercialism, commercially driven economy, and the market forces. If there was a bastion of evil on the planet, then that would be it. And we're moving into a unified planet, a unified field, in which the very first topmost responsibility internationally is the fostering and feeding and caring for the people in each nation, but as an international task force. Do you think for a moment we would have crime cartels and gangs of desperate homeless and outcasted young people? And the buildup of fear and terror through increasing nuclear power and nuclear danger and nuclear threats of planetary annihilation? Do you think for a moment we'd have any of that? If instead of sending bombs and destroying people's homes and livelihoods and bodies and families, if instead we sent a group of loving neighbors from another nation or a group of nations and said, what do you need, brothers, sisters, how can we assist you? What can we do for you? The group that I'm part of, that I have been with for 45 years now, is called the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, or MSIA. And for many, many years, we as a group of initiates and ministers would go to the different countries. One of the lands that we visited, and visited many times, but I went on one trip, was Egypt. And we went to the town of Luxor, and we went to the hospital there, and we noticed that they were doing operations with a light bulb over a table with flies buzzing around and dirt and filth. And we walked through the ward where the mothers had just given birth, and they were burning with fever, and they were tossing and turning in misery and filth. And so what happened was, with the help of a Sai Baba devotee who owned one of the Nile boats that go up the Nile, and with the cooperation of many, many doctors and hospitals in the United States, we literally refitted the Luxor Hospital with everything they needed. And we paid in advance that they could have the maintenance to keep it up and to keep it clean. So they had state-of-the-art equipment, which here in the United States usually is made obsolete after a certain period of time and it's discarded. But we got all of this donated. And then the Sai Baba devotee volunteered to take it as cargo up the Nile, and the Luxor Hospital was just a few feet from where the boats dock. So it was an easy entry to redo the hospital. And then we went into an Arabian village, and we asked, what do you need? And they said, well, we need a mosque. We need a place to worship. And so we built them a mosque. And we were the first group of people to ever be invited into that mosque and celebrated. And John Roger, who holds a mystical traveler consciousness, The mosque was named after him. So as far as I know, it's the only mosque in the world that is dedicated to the mystical traveler consciousness. And we were embraced and taken into that village with great love. And we said then, well, what else do you need? And they said, well, we need a school. So then we built a school for them. And we planted a peace pole. And we adopted another group of orphans in Israel. And we're like elder brother and sisters to that particular group of children. So I'm just saying, that's an example of what one small group did to be their service, to make things better for these brothers and sisters. And we are loved and accepted everywhere in the Arabian countries, in the Jewish areas, everywhere. And the same thing happened when I was traveling with the Benny Hinn Ministries, the same thing. Everywhere Pastor Benny Hinn went, he was loved and recognized as a true brother of a great heart, of a great compassion. And the works that were done by the Benny Hinn Ministries, the same thing. Just over and over again, I saw the acceptance of the Palestinians and the Israelis. Wherever he went, he was loved and respected. And it's interesting, too, because he's part Arab himself and part Israeli. And a little bit of all the Middle Eastern blood is in his veins. And so he's kind of an ambassador of himself, embodying all of these different cultures. And then he was schooled by French nuns in a Catholic convent, kind of schooling system. So I'm just saying, many of us are ambassadors as we travel through the world and we touch the different people and environments and cultures. And some of us stay at home, but we can still transmit that energy of universal brotherhood and goodwill. And we can pray. We can all pray. If nothing else, we can all pray for the well-being and the fostering and the kind-heartedness and the open-heartedness that would enable us to put our brother's need as the measure of our action. What the masters always say, put the need of another as your measure of action. So whether we sit at home and commandeer a family and children and hardly get out of our neighborhood, or whether we're a global traveler that moves like John Morton is now, and like John Roger did, and in our group in MSIA, we were always taking these trips that we call peace awareness trainings. We were ambassadors of peace that went to our brothers and sisters in different lands and said, what do you need? How can we assist you? And I'm saying that we need to do that on an international level so that we begin to see that there's nobody that goes hungry. We need to take all of this money that's wasted on generating more and more global fear and insecurity and intimidation, that's building up more and more means of destroying each other. We need to take that whole military budget and prioritize it to feeding people. There should be no excuse for having anybody living on our streets in the United States and in the other industrialized nations that don't have food and shelter and education and health care as a human right. Many of the countries in Europe are way ahead of the United States in that. And we need to wake up instead of trying to be isolated, nationalistic, selfish little entity thinking only of ourselves. We have to think globally and act locally and begin to look at the whole planet as our living room. And everybody on the planet is our relative, and we need to prioritize that. And that's what the masters, both planetary and extraterrestrial, are doing. Now, because of our very, very stupid and ignorant use of nuclear fission and buildup of nuclear armaments, We have so polluted the planet now that it, were it not for the extraterrestrials of the Ashtar Command and other extraterrestrial alliances, if it were not for the Confederation fleets of different planets in our solar system and beyond, we would have completely died by now because of the excess radioactivity, which cannot be measured by our scientific instruments. Why? Because it's in the physical etheric. We have the dense physical matter, we have the liquid physical, and we have the gaseous physical. And those three levels are the only levels we have equipment to measure. But there are four etheric subplanes, and that's where the radioactivity is doing the damage. The masters have said recently that that is the cause behind Alzheimer's, which they say is increasing in younger and younger people now. It's the cause for immune deficiency disorders. It depletes the immune system, produces ADD, and all of the flus and things that seem to be cropping up now that we have no medical way to address. So what do you do? Here's what you do. You really send up a big gratitude for the 24/7 work of the Ashtar Command and the Confederation fleets of myriad worlds that come every single second of the day and night. They are neutralizing the excess radioactivity. That's why you see the spaceships that go in the ocean. They're neutralizing it in the ocean. That's why you see them going into the mountains. All of the mountain areas have bases because we've polluted the soil. There's never a time in the day and the night when you don't see them, if they densify so you can, where they're not cleaning and clearing the atmosphere. Whether you see them or not, they're there. And they're going about a work which, if they didn't do it, we would have all died long since. Our beautiful avatar, Lord Satya Sai Baba, it said that it will be 60 centuries, quoting Mother Ananda Moima, it will be 60 centuries before another one of the level of Satya Sai Baba comes to our earth. And that beautiful avatar took the full brunt of the Fukushima nuclear meltdown into his physical body, and organ by organ shut down and died. So he literally gave his life physically to save us from what would have completely decimated our planet and made it uninhabitable for hundreds of years. So we have a task force of divine beings who had to, by the way, ask permission from their higher-ups to come to Earth to save us from destroying ourselves. So since the 50s and a little bit before, the Ashtar Command has been coming and coming again and again to warn us about the dangers of nuclear detonations and the use of nuclear fission itself. There is no positive use for it. And he said we absolutely must abolish every use of it completely and destroy all nuclear forms of bombs and military buildup and escalation. That must be abolished in its totality from every single nation. That's the only way that we're going to have peace on the planet, because otherwise people are so afraid of each other that they keep building in more defense. And why should we be so afraid of each other? We're children of the same creator. We all bleed the same color blood. Take off the outer pigment of our skin and we're all white. That layer right under your pigmented skin, your epidermis, is white. So we're all, and the soul of every one of us is pure light and pure divine. So On Monday, the 22nd of May, this year, 2017, a United Nations disarmament panel presented the first draft, get this, of a proposed global treaty to ban nuclear weapons. 123 nations agreed to that. But 9 nations known to possess nuclear weapons, which are the USA, Britain, China, France, Russia, which are all members of the UN Security Council, India, Pakistan, and North Korea, and Israel, have, I understand, boycotted the negotiations for such a treaty. You know, when Commander Valiant Thor visited here in the 1957 to 1960, he offered the sitting president at the time, Eisenhower, and Nixon, the opportunity to completely abolish poverty, hunger, disease, even up to death itself, if we would agree to unilaterally abolish nuclear warfare, nuclear arms. And apparently the president was not adverse to that, but in consulting his Joint Chiefs of Staff, they all agreed that it would, get this, destroy the American economy. So here we have this rampant disease, this rampant pollution and degradation of our environment because short-sighted, selfish people put profit before everything else. And that selfishness, which is not just in the members of the politics, because within every body there's going to be some light workers and some people who are in tune with a greater, more humanitarian and just way of doing things. You know, they're everywhere. But the people who have been in those positions are the ones that have blocked what we could have now, a beautiful world where we already have the technology of light. We already have free energy. We have no more disease. We have no more poverty. We have no more commercialism. We have no more need for money. We have no need to make people buy things that should be their God-given right. Shelter, food, education, medical care. These are human rights. They belong to no one group of people, and they belong to no one nation. So those of us who are light bearers, the best thing we can do is make our voices heard. Because if you've noticed, people power is now becoming the major force that brings change on the planet. For the first time, the conscience, you might say the soul of human beings in every nation is stirred to activate and no longer just be sheep blindly following despotic, selfish, and greedy leaders to their own detriment. They're standing up. They're making their voices heard. Where they're in lands where there's such severe religious or cultural oppression, they have to work quietly and silently. But however you work, the work is done on a spiritual level initially, and then through human endeavor and participation and cooperation, it's brought into manifestation to the degree that we possibly can. And that's our work. Whether you're here on Earth assignment, like me, originally from another planet, or you are a walk-in originally from another planet, or you've come back in time to overlay your human personality with your future self. I kind of fall into all of those slats because I've had 3 different embodiments, you might say, within this physical body, as the person that was born in the body, as a complete walk-in transfer of another soul in 1963, I think it was. And then myself coming back in time as a future self integration, which occurred in 1991. So some of us have had those overlays of different aspects of our persona and different aspects of our mission where we've had slightly different emphasis for periods of our life, and then we take on a new, appropriate for the awakening and heightening of the vibration of the planet, we take on a new, let's say, presentation of our work. But every single one of us, regardless of where we are in our awakening or whether we're conscious or not, everyone has chosen at a soul level to be here to assist with the transformation of this planet, to move it beyond the danger point, which we're in right now, where it could go either way. Because we have on the planet right now the world teacher, and we have on the planet at this time avatars of different degrees of potency, their collective voice is that we will get beyond this time. But it so much depends on the collective human being. We have no idea the power of our collective agreement. We are the ones actually that is causing so much of the problems we have on the planet because of our disharmony, because of our negative emotions, because of our unbridled negative critical thoughts. We cause so much of the havoc that we're having right now in the weather because our very misalignment, our very negativity upsets the elementals that govern the weather. We're supposed to have governance and be the elder caretakers and guardians of the kingdoms of nature. That was given into our stewardship. But if we don't behave and act in accordance with divine law, the highest of which is living love, then we set at awry all of the forces of nature, and they become chaotic. So blame yourself, as it were. I blame myself. We can blame our collective selves for a lot of the floods and fires. And have you noticed how chaotic, for example, the eastern coast has been? We've had storm after storm after storm after storm. I think we've gone through the alphabet already twice. I'm not sure in terms of naming the storms. But I said, you know, during the very contentious and ugly, mean-spirited and horrible rhetoric of the political battle that waged on and on seemingly endlessly, and the contentious election process, I believe that that is why we've had storm after storm after storm bombarding the eastern coast of the United States. That is my own interpretation, but I tend to watch the weather patterns and where people are the most agitated and out of balance and really working in patterns of negativity and againstness and fighting and contention. I've noticed how that impacts that area in terms of its weather patterns. So, again, we have this tremendous power, but if we don't organize it in a proper way and aim it in a non-polarized way, we create more havoc and more discord on the planet. So, it's very, very helpful, according to the masters, for these mass peaceful demonstrations and marches to occur in every nation and every land where it's possible. People should continue putting the pressure on their unjust, unfair, selfish, and greedy politicians and others who are serving as what would you call the leadership of that country, and collectively say, no more, no more. The voice of the people has asked for truth and justice and freedom and human rights. and we will not stop until these are implemented. And all change, if you look throughout history, has always been the people. It doesn't happen at the top. As long as, you know, they're getting their cash and their money and everything flowing, they don't much care about the populace. Let them, you know, let them take the crumbs. And that's an old karma that comes out of the middle, well, before the Middle Ages. But it's that old Piscean selfishness. Me and mine and to heck with everybody else. And in the Aquarian Age, the energies that are impacting us now, we have to have the unification and the cooperation and the sharing and the synthesis and networking and interconnectivity and communication of all life on the planet. That's the Aquarian ideal. In the Piscean Age, they lived by idealism, which they just kind of put on a pedestal or in a religion or, you know, in a book somewhere, and they would speak about it as something very wonderful and noble, but nobody implemented it and embodied it and lived it. It was just an ideal. And so we're living right now in amongst a bunch of old ideologues whose time has come to be replaced truly by a world that is governed for the people, by the people, with equality and justice and cooperation and sharing, unilaterally spread throughout every single country. We have to stop thinking nationalistically, which is extremely selfish, and move more into the concept that we are a family inhabiting a very small planet. And why should a handful of industrialized nations hog 80% of the national resources? Why? Are there people living on the streets of every, well, most nations, not every nation? I heard from my friends in the Netherlands, they don't have such a thing as homelessness. It's really, really a crime that we allow that to continue year after year. The Lord, the world teacher, has said that millions of people starve, millions of children, every single day. And so many people in America, so many children go to bed hungry. Why? Why? So a big thing that we do as light bearers is put the squeeze on those people, however we can, that we see taking the wrong path, the selfish path, the isolationist path, the path of warfare, the path of exacerbating conflict and hatred. You know, we should be able to corral those people with the help of God. So do pray, do ask to be used as an instrument, that wherever you are, your influence, your input, whatever that may be, whatever your gifts are, whatever your abilities are, use everything at your disposal to bring sanity and light and clarity and truth and justice and human rights to the attention, however you do that. And we can all do something. There is nobody that can do nothing. If nothing else, you can pray. You can send the light. But ask the Lord to be an instrument. If you haven't already done so, every day say, Lord, I'm here for you. I'm your instrument. Speak through me. Love through me. Teach through me. Touch through me. Heal through me. Use me. Use me. Don't let anything come through me that you didn't bring, that you didn't imbue me with. And take all the fruit, all the results. Take it. May it be to your glory, Lord. May I disappear in the process and be an empty conduit. Be like Brazzo, completely empty of ego, to where you can look out at a group of people and their lives are changed forever. There is a pure instrument. There is a pure divine instrument, Brazzo. If you don't know who he is, Google him. B-R-A-C-O. Looks like Braco, but it's pronounced Brazzo. Means little brother in Croatian. So you don't have to say a word. You can be like Brazzo and let the light of Almighty God pour right through your eyes. You know, we can all do something. But if your motive is to be of service, you will never go wrong. You will never be left with nothing to say or nothing to contribute. Because again, if you're silent, or you're an orator, or a writer, or wherever you are, whatever you do, you will be used wherever you are. And that's what we're here to do. That's why we're here. We work with the same upline. We call it different things. I call it the Office of the Christ and the Order of Melchizedek. But it's the same thing, whether you call it this lineage or this order or that order, it's the same thing. Because all the extraterrestrials work under the hierarchies, the spiritual regions of their particular planet, just as we do on Earth, but they're all united. They all work as one team. And not one of them has an attitude of separation. Not one. Many of these planets, like Venus, have not seen warfare for centuries and centuries. Do you know that on our Ashtar command ships, we have absolutely no defense system whatsoever? We would gladly go to our oblivion rather than hurt or harm a single being. We won't even come and violate your consciousness if you are fearful of us. And by the way, all of the stories of abduction and flesh-eating monsters and all of these terrible things that have been depicted by Hollywood and pop culture and back in my early days, the comics, all of that has never been done by a single true extraterrestrial being. Not one. Those that have been doing all of the abductions and implants and violating your privacy and taking your ovum and sperm and stuff like that, these are astral entities that come from the lower worlds. They're not extraterrestrials at all. They're interdimensional. We could call them demons. We could call them beings that have not evolved to where they have an individualized soul yet. They're not at the level of the human being. That's why they are very curious to see what makes you tick. But they're not extraterrestrials. Not a single true extraterrestrial has ever harmed anybody on Earth, and it would never happen. But we have force fields around our ships that protect us, so that no matter how many times you would fire at us or try to shoot us down, it would be impossible. So what are the ships that have been shot down? Back-engineered craft by our own governments. Back-engineered craft. With some of the little astral entities, the little hybrids and others that have come in from the interdimensional psychic apertures that we inadvertently opened through some of our experimentation back in the Montauk days, back in the late 30s, early 40s. There was a lot of old Atlantean scientists reincarnated that were missing with the timelines and the energies they had no business missing with. So I just want to go on record to state that the beings that you have interaction with and will have in the future, more and more so, are elder brothers and sisters that live completely with a heart of loving goodwill towards all of humanity, and have been for all of these decades doing their very best to mop up the messes that we keep creating for ourselves and to keep us just shy of launching again things that would destroy our planet. because what would destroy our planet would affect all of the other family of planets. Our whole solar system is inhabited by human beings, by man. M-A-N, capital M-A-N is what they're called. People like you and me. And although they're inhabiting etheric physical vehicles, which are invisible to our lower physical sight, they nevertheless inhabit their planets at different dimensional levels. And they all are here cooperating to help get her Earth beyond this danger flashpoint where we could go either way. The Masters seem fairly confident that we will make the right choice and go in the right direction. And the uprising of the people is proof of that. But there's still, you know, the embedded old guard, let's say, that, they will die out, hopefully, and be replaced by saner and more just leadership. Because as the vibrations keep rising on the planet, it's not going to support those old retrogressive energies. Not going to support them. And so they'll short-circuit themselves. Evil always destroys itself. Always. Just as lies have no support. Do you know your whole being and all your organs shut down when you lie? And you lose all of your strength and your support? Yeah. Your very nature, which is the nature of God, which is truth, with a capital T, will not support you when you lie. Yeah. So our own adhering to truth as we understand it, as our conscience reveals it to us, when we stand in that line and to the best of our ability live in that sincerity of spirit that's so important, and being true to ourselves and true to our convictions is what supports us as light bearers. And the time, like Sai Baba said, when we fully awaken, the whole of this dream will vanish. The whole of this dream. But who created the dream? We did, by identifying with separation from eternal love and each other and God. So who has to remedy it? Who has to wake up? We do. We have to bring back the happy dream of oneness with God and oneness with each other. And then we'll find that we are pure light. We've never left the heart of God. We have purified, as it were, the mind that thought evil thoughts of separation and againstness and hatred and warfare. And so we're here, each one of us, by our own volunteering at a soul level. Nobody is here by accident. It's too important a time. You all have something that you can do to make the place where you are better, to bring in greater sense of hope, greater encouragement. You don't know what to do? Look around. You won't have to look very far to find somebody who's absolutely miserable, insecure, afraid of what's going to happen in the future, desperately seeking some answer, some hope, some bright light. So for heaven's sakes, minister to those, whoever God sends across your path. At least smile at them. At least sincerely look into their eyes and put down your cell phone and communicate heart to heart. And if they see they're open, share with them some of the good news that you know, that we're moving into a golden age. in our lifetime, in the next decade or less. Oh, I have so many more things to share with you on that topic, but I see we've come to the end of our time together for this show. So I'll keep sharing each week more and more. But I have direct experience of the things that I'm talking about. I've been working now with the Ashtar Command consciously since 1961 and unconsciously since I was 6 years old. And I know the things I'm talking about are real and true because I've experienced them directly. And so therefore I have the responsibility to speak about them, which I have been for the last 10 years and shall continue doing so. But there's very, very wonderful things happening on the planet. Wonderful things. Oh, if you could just see some of the things that I've seen, having come back in time from the future, you would just dance for joy. So anyway, let's go out chanting Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. And raise your hands and send your blessing. May every man, woman, and child, may every sentient being in all the kingdoms of nature be blessed. May all be touched with the love of God. May all be healed where they most hurt. May the light permeate all beings, and may they awaken to the divine self that they truly are. May all have health. May all have peace. And just send that forth with your love. And God bless each one of you. Namaste.